For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to The Football Hour with Dom Betts and Alex Mearns.
Hello and welcome to the Football Hour Frank Lampard retirement special. I am Alex Mearns, you are the lovely listener, and in the corner I have my football friend Dom Betts. As I said, this is the Frank Lampard retirement special. You know that Frank Lampard was a world-class midfielder. You know that Frank Lampard won basically every single medal. I think he did win every single medal you could possibly win. But did you know that he was the fourth highest, greatest goal scorer in the Premier League history? Dom, you were saying in the top 15, he is the only midfielder. He was basically a striker playing in midfield. He had the second highest assists behind Ryan Giggs. He played over 600 games in the Premier League. Dom, is he Chelsea's all-time greatest player?
I'm only going to judge in my lifetime. It's hard to judge past that. Football is different. I haven't seen him. I've only seen him on highlight reels. And I mean, every player looks good on a highlight reel. But in my lifetime, he's Chelsea's greatest ever player.
I have to agree.
Above Terry and above Drogba.
Yeah. It's his consistency, wouldn't you say? There was 10 Premier League seasons in a row where he scored double figures. That's stupid, isn't it?
Yeah, and I remember Drogba said something like this. He'd get annoyed if he didn't get at least 20 goals a season. He's a number eight. A striker's usually happy with 20 goals a season.
Mm.
How many strikers get 20 goals a season?
They don't. How many strikers, how many players in this modern era pick up so many injuries that they can't possibly reach 10 consecutive years?
And you mentioned injuries. Can you even think about if Lampard ever got a serious injury?
No.
His fitness was always at the top.
That sort of flicks something in my mind about how players now can't overtrain because we don't want to exert them too much. We need to rest players. Every single story you heard about Frank Lampard was bag of balls after training, an hour. Practicing his sprints, practicing his shooting, practicing his passing, practicing his corners. This is a man who maybe wasn't the most gifted footballer in the world. But he was the hardest working, wasn't he?
Oh, his work rate was second to none. I think the thing that annoys people most with Frank Lampard is, we're going to get onto it later when we're discussing the whole topic of this podcast, but he was in the greatest midfield trio a national team's probably ever seen in Gerrard, Scholes and Lampard.
We were so lucky.
And someone always got shoved out of position because we were insisting with a 4-4-2 because apparently a 4-3-3 is probably, I don't know, too continental for the time.
Well, let's try and remain positive, though. He's England's 10th highest goal scorer with 29 goals, Dom.
Should be 30.
It should be 30.
It was only about a mile and a half over the line. So
you explain to the listener if they don't remember.
2006 World Cup, quarterfinal against Germany. Lost 4-2. If that goal goes in, totally different game. You can't say, oh, but nothing would happen. It would have changed the dynamic of that game completely if he scores.
Mm.
You never know what could have happened in that game.
I agree. He's Chelsea's all-time greatest goal scorer. As you said, you believe that he's Chelsea's best player in your lifetime. John Terry has said he's Chelsea's best player of all time. What games stand out for you when he was in a Chelsea shirt? He scored a lot of goals, as we've said. Which ones can you pick out?
Barcelona away in the Champions League when they won. Unbelievable he was in that game. And I'm not Frank Lampard's biggest fan at all.
Oh, do you mean the one on their way to winning it?
No, the one a few seasons
the
before.
The chip?
Yeah, the chip. The unbelievable. Why are you doing that? No one else does that.
He was at the left-hand side of the Barcelona box. Very, very close. Maybe about a yard
from the byline.
And he is facing the corner flag. He's facing away from goal. And he turns his body in one motion, left, and he chips the ball over Victor Valdez into the net, and it was fantastic. He had complete composure in front of goal. He never snatched at chances. What I will remember, not the way he took the shot, it was the thing he did before the shot, the placement of the ball, so that he never had to adjust his stride. He put the ball in such a perfect spot with his first touch that he could get the shot away quicker than the goalkeeper could react.
And one thing I'd say about Lampard, I've never seen someone so good at shooting first time. He wouldn't need a touch most of the time. It'd just come to him, ping, goal. I haven't seen anyone do anything like that before.
No.
As a first-time shooter.
Left foot and right foot as well. There was a goal I saw against Hull City away, and he's at the corner of the left-hand side of the box. Ball rolls to him, and you think a cross, or maybe take a touch, put it on his right foot. Do you know what I did?
He dinks it all the far post.
He dinks it on the far post. Not just dinks straight, but dinks with a right curve.
It properly swerved it, all the way into the far post.
It was marvellous. He clearly got his work rate from his dad, who was... Harry Redknapp said he wasn't one of the greatest footballers. But what apparently his dad did when West Ham said, we don't think you're going to make it, son, we don't think you're quick enough. Do you know what Frank Lampard Senior did? He went and bought athletic running shoes and he went sprinting every day. And that's the work ethic that the Lampards seem to have. It's a shame other footballers don't. Why aren't other footballers staying after training and seeing that... If you want to become better in anything, with us, if we want to make better podcasts, we do more podcasts. If you want to be a better cycler, what do? You're constantly cycling. You're constantly practicing and honing your technique. Lampard looks like a man who developed his technique every single day. You know, at the start of, let's say, the 2004 season, 2005 season, when they won the league, at the start of that season, at the end of the season, he was a better player at the end of the season, wasn't he?
He always did that. He seemed to always be improving.
Mm.
And one thing you could say about Lampard is he was a big game player.
Yeah.
You knew in a big game, him and Drogba mainly, would always turn up.
Mm.
You were never in doubt.
Yeah.
There's a lot of clubs' biggest players nowadays who don't turn up in the big games. Obviously, one that gets mentioned a lot is Mesut Ozil or Arsenal, because he's clearly their most technically gifted player.
Mm.
But... is he not a big game player? And when you're a big club, big game players is what wins you leagues.
We all know, and some people laugh at John Terry for picking up the red card in the semi-final and missing the Champions League final, Dom, which Chelsea eventually won. Frank Lampard stepped up from vice-captain to captain in that game. That must have been quite difficult to do, to be the leader of that very... disassembled Chelsea squad. If I think back, Ryan Bertrand was playing his first ever game in the Champions League. Ashley Cole was left back. They had Juan Mata and Ramirez with a midfield of John Obi Mikel. David Luiz came in as well.
But if you think about the Bayern Munich team this team is facing, you got Ian Robin, Frank Ribery, David Alaba, I think, was there at the time.
But that's what I'm saying. How hard must it be?
Philip Lahm, Bastian Schweinsteiger. Bastian Schweinsteiger in one midfield, John Obi Mikel in the other.
And what Frank Lampard did was bossed it.
There's one thing, I'm not a big fan of Lampard, I've mentioned this quite a few times, but there's one thing I loved about this game. When the winning penalty goes in, doesn't go running with the players, he runs straight to the Chelsea fans.
Yeah.
And that's what fans want to see.
Yeah.
Fans who care about the players. Because a lot of modern footballers nowadays, you don't feel like they care about you.
It's about them.
But I thought with Lampard, he always put the Chelsea fans first.
And three or four Chelsea fans ran onto the pitch at that very moment when Lampard turned. He hugged them so tightly. You were right, there was a connection there. And you're not surprised. He is super Frankie Lampard. Dom, I don't really want to talk about the Scholes and Gerrard thing. You do, don't you?
We have to. I think you have to.
Why?
Because this debate is going to... come to fruition again. Who is the greatest English midfielder of all time? And it annoys me when people say Frank Lampard and Steven Gerrard were better than Paul Scholes. Because they weren't.
But shall we not just celebrate Lampard because he deserves it on this podcast?
He does deserve it, but this debate is going to come up.
Because you brought it up.
Because it will come up. It's been a debate when Scholes retired. And it was a debate when Gerrard moved to the MLS. But I think you have to talk about it because why is it a debate? Why do certain people think Lampard's better than Gerrard and Scholes? Why do some people think Gerrard is better than Scholes and Lampard? Like, for you, who was the best out of the three?
For me, who's the best out of the three? It's very, very close between Gerrard and Lampard. And United fans will hate me for saying this. I almost think that it shouldn't be a debate Scholes, Lampard, Gerrard. It should be a Gerrard-Lampard debate. I think Scholes was very similar to the two others at the start of his career. But the Scholes I remember was someone who sat a bit deeper. The Gerrard and Lampard I know were bombers. They were going forward. They were going to win for their team. If I think of the times Lampard and Gerrard won big games for their clubs, I know you love Scholes, but these boys did things other footballers weren't doing, and Scholes didn't.
Scholes is the greatest passer of the football there's been in the last 40 years. Why I say Scholes is, right, it's not just because of my opinion. All the professional players at the top of their game say Paul Scholes was the best midfielder they've ever seen. Deco played with Lampard in, you could say, Lampard's prime years. And he said that Scholes was definitely better than Frank Lampard. Xavi says Scholes is the greatest midfielder England's ever seen. Xavi, who is regarded one of the greatest midfielders of all time. I reckon if Scholes was in the Spain team that dominates international tournaments, he'd be regarded as the best midfielder of all time. I don't think England was the right team to showcase how good his ability was, because intricate passing, he'd see a ball before the person was even born who was making that run. And I think the Premier League he was in at the time maybe didn't showcase his skills as much as he shows in the Champions League sometimes. And like Frank Lampard, he won everything for his club. Everything. And another reason I love Paul Scholes was when he came back at the age of 37 and sort of dragged United to that title in, I think, 2012. 37 years old. I think it goes basically Scholes, Lampard, then Gerrard. Because although Gerrard was this wonderful player, and he obviously the Gerrard Cup final that everyone talks about, he never got that Premier League. And I know it doesn't...
Lampard won 3 in 5 years, and we know Scholes, he won... were numerous, I think 8 or 9. Are you saying Scholes is the greatest English midfielder of all time? You must agree that Frank Lampard is the greatest goal-scoring midfielder.
Yeah, there's no argument that Lampard is the greatest goal-scoring midfielder I've seen.
How incredible is that? Goal-scoring is the one thing that is the hardest thing to do on a football field. And he makes it easy. How good was his goal-scoring ability?
His goal-scoring ability for a centre midfielder was second to none. But the thing is, Scholes and Gerrard still score goals. Your job as a midfielder isn't necessarily to be the top goal-scorer. And I think what Scholes didn't add in goals, I mean, he still scored over 100 Premier League goals. I mean, that's not a mean feat for...
It's incredible.
It's incredible for a centre midfielder.
But all three of them have scored...
over 100 Premier League goals. And I think... I just say Scholes because I've never seen anyone be able to control a game like he could, and some of the passes he'd play, I don't know how he saw them.
I'm happy that you could see something in Paul Scholes that maybe other English managers didn't get the best out of him. And why couldn't we play 4-3-3? Why did we have to be so bloody English and so rigid with our 4-4-2? Why did we have to do that?
If we think about it, you have a midfield three, so you'd have Scholes playing deep, right?
Yeah.
In the three. Then Gerrard and Lampard ahead of him. On the right wing, you have David Beckham.
Yeah.
In the middle, you have Wayne Rooney.
And Joe Cole on the left.
I reckon if we played that, we would have won Euro 2004, no issue. That Euro 2014, right? And World Cup 2006, how has that not won? Or even got past the quarterfinals. You got Sol Campbell, Rhea Ferdinand, John Terry,
Gary
Ashley Cole, the greatest left back I think I've ever seen. Gary Neville.
And Lampard is part of this golden generation. And we've just got to say thank you, Frank Lampard. We've watched hundreds and thousands of Premier League football matches, and you have added so much to every single Premier League match we've watched you involved with. You are super Frankie Lampard. You'll be adored by Chelsea fans. You're admired by every other fans' teams in the Premier League and around the world. And that is a congratulations to you. Frank Lampard, enjoy your retirement. I so hope he gets into coaching, striking coaching, teaching young players how to score goals.
that's one of the greatest things about him. He wasn't afraid to shoot from if he was like 30 yards out.
So many people now just pass the ball sideways and backwards because they're scared. These players we're talking about had an edge. They had a toughness with the ball. It takes a lot of character to go, you know what, I'm not going to pass it wide and wait for the cross. I'm going to go for this. I'm going to try and win the game. And you did it every single time. You did it over 177 times in the Premier League with the amount of goals you scored. Honour to watch him, wasn't it?
Honour. And I'll leave it on one more question. Can Dele Alli become as good of a goal-scoring midfielder as Frank Lampard?
No. You'll get nowhere near it. Frank Lampard is the greatest English goal-scoring midfielder of all time. If you disagree with us, you know where to find us. It's at The Football Hour on Twitter. If you've enjoyed this podcast, go to at The Football Hour on Twitter and say, Alex and Dom, I hear you. That's simple.
Or Alex and Dom, you are wrong. Gerrard was clearly better.
Yeah.
Incoming Liverpool fans.
Because we get all these listeners, we see all the number of you listening, and we love it. We so appreciate it. Can't tell you the amount of you who seem to enjoy this podcast, but I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you. So go follow us on Twitter and tweet us saying whether you enjoy this podcast. Whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do, tweet us. So that was the Frank Lampard retirement special. Don Betts, thank you. Listener, thank you. I've been Alex Mearns. This has been The Football Hour. See you later.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.